of
specificity. And so yeah, just bear with us. It's good to sometimes shake it up a bit and do things a bit differently. But I believe there's something really powerful that God wants to do here today. On the one hand, I am not happy that there are so few people, but on the other hand, I'm very happy there are so few people. Because the message that I'm going to share is something that God really worked with me in the last 3 weeks, and it is still raw, if I can put it like that. If we can just have the photo of the second picture. Our son was born on the 1st of August, for those of you that don't know yet. Jean-Francois Pieterse. And it's been a tremendous blessing just to have him in our arms and just receiving into our house. It was so amazing. But basically, my sermon basically entails the process of his birth as well, that is coupled with another story as well, and forms part of a testimony that I'm going to start with. And the reason that it's so hard for me to share is because it is so raw in me yet, what I've experienced, what I've gone through, and it's something that I've not even been able take care of, but to go through the process that I was supposed to go through. But because of the birth of the baby boy and stuff at work and many things happening, I've not been able really to come to grips to what I'm sharing on today. So if I break down a bit, please just bear with me. Yeah, I'm not really that emotional, but I am emotional. But if I start crying, just bear with me. I'll come right and I'll give you the word of that God has laid in my heart for you as well today. And it's something that is basically very coupled with the birth of my son. Because as me and my wife were basically preparing for the birth, we had we knew of another couple that had a lot of problems with their pregnancy. And it basically started from the beginning, how she basically got pregnant. I don't know, the Mariana, is that an English? It's basically a contraceptive that she basically had as a contraceptive, but she got pregnant with the Mariana. And it's quite I'll leave that to the doctors to explain. And it is a really difficult situation. And when she got pregnant, they could not remove the Mariana. And there was some complications, but she went on with her pregnancy, and there were some complications as well that the doctors now really looked at this. And it's basically at the same time we're preparing for the arrival of our son. We now get this message that it's really the doctors have made a prognosis, and it's really bad. And it's to such an extent that they recommended that she terminates the pregnancy, because there were complications, there were development issues, and there were things that it was just hard for any parent to hear. And they also, being Christians, it makes it tough, because now how do you equate this, what is happening, with a loving God and something that's just happening? And it's a difficult situation. And I just felt in my heart the whole time, and I was praying for them like crazy. And we then heard the news that they basically almost decided they will go ahead with the termination of the pregnancy, because that is what they felt in their hearts. And I just felt in my heart that is not the answer. This is not what God intended. There's so much more. And I really felt it in my heart. I wanted to pray with them, to go to them and pray with them. But as they are in a different church and we don't really know one another that well, it was difficult to just approach them and say, listen, I want to pray for you for your situation. I mean, come on, you can't just do that for people going through things like that. And it was really tough. And I just said, Lord, give me a chance. Give me an open gap. And it never came. And then basically I just said to my wife, Chriselle, listen, just SMS them. Tell them that we would love to pray with them in their situation. And they never replied. And it was something that was, I don't understand why or what for what reason, but I can't blame them, because it might have been that they didn't understand what we were actually requesting, or that they were so overwhelmed by prayers that they just felt, okay, that's enough, please just back off. And it was, it they remained in my heart. I could not let it go. And I just remained praying. And I remember the Tuesday, I was praying, and I just got this clear message and said, it is done. It was like it was written in my mind's eye. And it was so complete. It was shocking for me. And it was, yes, Lord, what does that mean? Is the victory, is the celebration, or must I start mourning, or what is going on? And that evening, I got the news that they basically went ahead with the termination. Now, I don't exactly understand the process or how it works, but there is basically a period. Within 26 weeks, you must legally terminate the pregnancy. Now, the doctors might be able to explain that better than I do, and there's a procedure that they do. That they explained to me, but that is hearsay, so I won't give you that details because I don't know if that is true. But the termination basically failed, in short. And that for me was such an amazing thing because this was something that I can't explain. And I just got this vision because that evening when I got this word, I was so amazed and I just started praying again. I got this vision of I just got this vision of a blonde little girl in a yellow t-shirt and a denim short. And then I just get this word that at 14 she will basically give her heart to the Lord. And it was so vivid and so real. I could not question it. So that was an amazing word, and I shared it with my wife and another friend because it was just something so profound for me. And then we basically started preparing for our boy that was coming on Friday by a cesarean. So we knew exactly what the day would be, and we had to prepare, and there's a lot of things that we had to get right in place. And then basically as we were, the day before we were preparing, we heard the news that the friend of ours, that she basically went into labor prematurely, and that the baby was born 26 weeks. Now, for that is very early in a pregnancy, and that is something that any parent will know. If you look at the baby, the normal weight is between 3 and 4 kilograms about, and I think she weighed in at 1.2. So there's a lot of premature babies that this happens with, and it was just, I held to this word. It was so profound to me that I could not let go. And then basically the Friday, and now the news basically got, we didn't get any news anymore because the mother was recuperating and all that. And then basically we went into our own birthing process, and all went well up until a certain stage, and then we realized that the baby had water on the lungs. I don't know if that's the correct term. The doctors could probably give a better term. But then they had issues because the machines in the hospital, there weren't enough machines anymore because all of them were being used. So we had to rush him to another hospital in order to get him onto the machines to clear to help him with his breathing and clear the liquid in his lungs. And then basically he was separated from his mother for a day because she was not able to be transferred as well. So that was quite a hectic time for dad to say, okay, my wife, I'm going with a baby to another hospital and hopefully we can get you a place, because they were currently so full, there was no place for her to go there. And I just SMS'd guys and said, listen guys, we need prayer. There's just things. So now it's this whole process that I'm feeling for another family as well. And now you suddenly find yourself in a similar situation, and it's tough. And for parents to look at their children and they on cup or when they're connected to machines and things like that, it is tough. And it really tests your faith and where you want to go. And in the meantime, we have these other people in our hearts as well. So that is sort of, yes, Lord, this there's not enough pressure, so bring it on. And it was tough. And I mean, now you're praying for your own child and for somebody else's. And it really got hectic and got to me at some point. And I still had this word in my heart for them. And I could not let it go. And I just felt, Lord, this is... And what hospital are they? And I'm praying for my own son and say, Lord, must I give them this word? What must I do with this word? And the Lord just... At that time, I could not hear from the Lord because I was so focused on something else and so many things happening. And I just prayed, Lord, give me an opening. Give me that gap. Give me that door. And basically, the Saturday when we were preparing, they finally got a place for my wife in the other hospital where I was going to fetch her. And then basically, I ran into this mother. And I saw that, she's going through a hard time. I just said, how's it going? And she started crying. She said, my little baby is sick. They gave her antibiotics because she's got an infection. And it was just, and then a husband came by, and there's my open door. And I just said, listen, the Lord laid in my heart. I just got this vision, and I shared it with him about this beautiful little smile that this girl has and just how she would give her heart at 14 to the Lord. And it was just something in my heart that I felt that it would just give them that hope. This is something that the Lord gave me. It is true. It's so vivid. I cannot explain it. So I shared it with them, and they were obviously crying, and they were also going through a tough time. And then I had to run because I had to go to the other hospital again. And they also had some other priorities that they quickly had to do. And then basically we received the shocking news that the little girl passed away Saturday afternoon. So that was a really tough time for me, because here's this word that God gave me, and it was like, oh Lord, how does this work? You gave me this word. How can you just take this life now? So I was really struggling. And that is what I say, that I still have that emotional rawness in me, why I'm so emotional and why it's so tough for me. And at the same time, I'm going through this, but Lord, you gave me this word. You gave me this vision. I don't understand. And now you start questioning God, His authority, what He does, and why He does it, His love. And I just felt, yes, Lord, I need an answer. And then you have questions. Was this a lie? Did I hear incorrectly? And it's one of the amazing things, as I was going into the baby the emergency room for infants where my son was lying, I basically saw this poster card or thank you card that they wrote for the sisters, which had a scripture attached to it, which is in Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He has said and he shall do it. Shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he shall not make it good? And I just realized that this vision that God gave me was real. And he is not a man that he should lie. And I still had that question, why, Lord? I had this vision, I have it. How can this happen now? And then I was wrestling with God. And I was asking questions, not in a humble way that you should approach God. I kicked the door down and I approached the king. And I said, God, why did you allow this to happen? And in our arrogance, God is just so full of love. And he just has this amazing grace not to judge you according to what you do, but just that he knows your heart. And he just took me and sat me down and said, listen, the word you got was for last week, not for today. It could have changed their lives. And that shook me. And I was humbled. And that is something that God just changed something in me. I wanted to get a tattoo of a picture on my hand. Luckily, I'm mature. I've not I'm not giving into impulses at this moment. It might be something that I still do just to remind me of that promise, and that word, and being humbled by God. And it was just that word that so shook me, because it was a word in season, and I gave it out of season. And that was something that touched me so profoundly, and God challenged me these last 3 weeks just upon how we focus, how are we focused on Him? How do we allow Him to use us? And that just, I just realized when I look back at opportunities, I was looking for God just to open the door. And I had so much respect for these people that I didn't want to say, listen, can we pray for you? I just feel it in my heart, God has given me this promise. Is there something I can give to you? I'm not saying that it would have made a difference, but it could have made a difference. And it's something I just have that burden in my heart that I have to carry it. And it's something that I want to share with you as well, because as I was thinking of this promise that God gave, and how I was late with that promise. And God just said, but listen, and I was just reminded of the scripture in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And when I looked back, I realized there was so much fear of man, that I didn't want to approach these people and say, listen, I want to pray for you. God has laid in my heart that I must pray for you. And I did not have the courage to go to them and say, listen, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your situation is. I serve a God that is real, that is awesome, that loves you, and that wants to change your life. And I want to pray for you, even if that prayer has no effect now. That's where I just had that picture of David when he went to the battlefield and he saw Goliath belittling Israel and God, and just his heart's attitude, how we as Christians are supposed to be, how most of the time as we as Christians cower at the challenge of Goliath, just how he shouts and says, but he who wants to win, come and fight me. We look at our circumstances, we look at what we are facing, and we realize what the cost might be if we lose. We start getting that fear in our hearts, and we start to just cower back. But David had that heart towards God that nothing else mattered. It's just God's heart, God's will. How can this Philistine say that about my God? And he forgot about his love and respect that he had for his brothers, because his brothers were in the battle. They were part of the soldiers that were cowering away from this giant. But David stood up and said, how can you allow him to say that to our God? And he basically took that step ahead of the king as well and said, how can the king cower before this giant? Do we not serve an awesome God? How can we allow this Philistine to say what he's saying? And he just shows that heart that we as Christians are supposed to have as well, one without fear, one with love towards God, reverence towards God. And just how we must approach God, how we must respect God above all else in our lives, no matter what the consequences. Because those consequences that you do by keeping silent might be worse than stepping up to the plate and saying, I will not allow this. This is what God has placed in my heart, and I will respond to what He says. For He is my God, the living God. And that so challenged me, because that is so much in my situation as well, that I just realized that there's so much fear that I have to deal with, so much fear that I have to just take to God and say, Lord, this is not of you. This is what I'm experiencing, this fear, this dread of bringing this word and having this situation coming to the light. And for them to lose their baby after I've shared that word and testimony, it humbles you. And then God just replies with that amazing place of, I am God. This is my child. He loves it even more than I do, even than the parents do. And that's when you realize that He is God, and there's no one else above Him. And His love, we can never understand. We can never comprehend how much He loves us and how much He is willing to sacrifice for us. And that was something that was so in my heart as well, that And it reminded me of the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, verse 7. The scriptures are there in Matthew 13, 22. And some seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And Jesus gives an explanation in verse 22. And that sown into the thorns is this: who hears the word, and the anxiety of this world and the deceit of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But there's a blessing that God holds before us, that life that we can choose, and it's a choice that we can make every day. And we choose his will above all else. And that's so summed up for me in Matthew 13 verse 8 and Matthew 13, 23. And some fell on the good ground and yielded fruit, indeed 100-fold and 160 and 130. And Jesus explains, but that sown in the good ground is this: he who hears the word and understands it, he also bears fruit and produces one truly 100-fold and 160 and 130. And we are called to be those who hear the word in the good ground. For we receive the word, and it's exactly like in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind equates to that we hear the word, we understand the word, and we know that this word is true. And that changes something within us, that we are able to see that there is life. And we have that choice to choose that life, which is so amazingly described in John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And Jesus gives us that life. He gives us that choice because he paid this ultimate sacrifice that we can receive his love and his sacrifice as grace, that we can stand before God and say, listen, God, here I am. Save me. And it's only by his grace that we are able to really know what love means, that we are able to walk in his love. And that life that Jesus holds before us is that amazing description of love that he has towards us. And that's something we so often miss, is that we can love him because he loved us first. And that love is so described in John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And once we know that we are loved, not for what we are, what we can be, or what we can do, but for who we are in Christ, and that he made us this way, that we are perfect in every way, then we truly understand what love means, why he loves us, how he loves us. And it's just that place where that love starts to function, and coupled with a sound mind, that we are able to take the word of God as truth and hold it before us and know that he loves us and the people around us and in this world. He's just able to use us. And we are driven by his love. We are driven by that eternity for that he feels towards people. That we can respond and say, God, but what about this person? What about this vision that I've received? Not holding it back, not keeping it for myself, because you have that, I almost have that picture of love being like water. And if you take that water and you want to fill the glass, it will fill it up. But if you not take that water and keep it back, that glass is now devoid of love. And so many times in our Christian life, we as Christians, we make that mistake of receiving a word, but because of the fear that we have towards men, and not towards God, we keep that word back. We keep that love, the word of love back. Not speaking that word specifically that you've received for somebody else. To speak that word, no matter what the consequences. And even to have words spoken to us. Somebody else having a word saying, but God loves you. Something simple like that to change your life at the right moment, in the right time, can change your life. And that's the power that God has given to us. That we have that choice to make every day. We choose life or we choose death. And it's not as simple as we often think, that once we've chosen Christ, we now have life. That process is so clearly depicted in the parable of the sower, where the seed is thrown into the ground and the seed has to die. And then it starts growing. It doesn't bear the fruit immediately. It grows, it matures, and then it starts bearing the fruit. And that fruit can then multiply and bear other fruit as well. And that's the amazing place where God just wants us to mature, where He wants us to grow and understand. And even for me, in this past 3 weeks, I've come to know God in a different light, in a different way. And to understand that my maturity, I'm not mature yet. I'm still an infant, it feels like. Although I stand in authority in this house, there are many things that we still struggle with, many things we don't understand. So many promises that God holds before us, and we just have to make that choice. That's the amazing example that Jesus always gave. He came to this earth to glorify the Father. And He did what He did because He loved the Father. And He wanted to glorify Him. He was able to do that because His heart was in the right place. His heart was in such a place that He was able to hear the Word of God and respond to it, no matter what the consequences. And He gave His life for us, that we might receive eternal life, that we might receive grace everlasting. And that's such an amazing place just for God to step in and say, I love you because I've made you. And I give you these gifts. And you have that choice of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And from that, we have the life that most people in the world out there just dream of. And that is what God is all about. He wants to change our destinies. He wants to change not only our destinies, but those around us as well. And it must be grounded in love. And that is the amazing place that I can just stand in awe before God and just say, God, if you want to use me, here I am. Everything I am. Holding nothing back anymore. And it's tough because we make mistakes. We are human. We don't hear clearly from God. His Holy Spirit, which is our power upon this earth, is like a dove. It gets so easily frightened if we do something wrong, if we sin. And I am not without blemish. I have my sins, I have my faults. I make mistakes. But I know the enabling power of God is within me. And He's able to use me powerfully. To do so much more with me than I am able to do myself. And it was just something that God just showed me so perfectly, where that fear that we have in this world is opposite of the love that He has for this world as well. And we operate in those two worlds basically, where God says from love, this is what I want you to do. This is why I want you to give your life to me. This is why I want you to give that word to that person, even though it doesn't seem like he wants it or needs it. And it's just that place where we have to say, but this, where you can think of Moses. But Lord, I stutter. I can't speak before the Pharaoh. He gave excuses. But God said, go. And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. What is God saying to us here today? And He has this amazing love towards us that He doesn't want to see us hurt. He doesn't want to see us in a place of turmoil, of destruction. And God just showed me many places where a word of love should have been spoken here in this place today, into hearts, that was not there. It was not spoken. It was held back. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes willingly. And where that love was kept back, we've been hurt. I can testify from my life so many times where I felt that, yes, I needed this love and I did not get it, Lord. Why? And it hurt me. And I had to deal with that. Something specifically for my father. I had many issues with my father. And it destroyed me because I could not understand certain things in life. And God just showed me, listen, there's unforgiveness in your heart towards your father. And I just spoke it and I forgave him. And there was such a release in my spirit of joy and peace I could not explain. It was like meeting God for the first time again. It was just that overwhelming love that just covers us. And that's God, constantly, consistently, always present, always wanting there to be there, to give you that support, to give you that love, to give you that encouragement that we so much desire and require. But he's not always able to do that verbally. That's where we as Christians, as brothers and sisters, are able to go in and say, God, I have this word in my heart. I will go and share it. I will not hold back. And that's a challenge in itself. Because I shared a while back as well. How much do you fear God? Do you fear God? And that might sound like a contradiction because the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Yes. But you can only fear something that is real to you. If God is not real to you, you cannot fear him. But once God becomes real to you, you can start to fear him. If you begin to understand how big he is, how great he is, and how small you are in comparison, there must be fear. But that fear turns to reverence once you understand that this God is love. He loves me unconditionally. And he showed that by giving up his only son on the cross. He did not hold back. He gave everything. And this is the God that we serve. And we so many times hold him back and say, but God, this wall, I've got so hurt here. And I don't know how you can heal this pain that I feel inside of my heart. Whenever I was molested when I was 3 years old, how certain things happened to me while I was at a friend's house. So many things that we allow in our lives and allow us to fear, because you fear that pain, you fear that circumstances. You fear it so much you don't allow a loving God to walk into that situation and say, but I didn't want that in your life. Please give it to me. I want to take it. And there's so many things in life that we experience that it's my pain, similar to what I'm now even convicted of it, this pain in my heart that I feel towards this little girl. It's something I must give to God, because it's not a pain that he wants me to have. He wants us to be able to live in that joy and that peace and understanding of his complete love for us. But there are certain walls that he will not climb over. There are certain doors he will not kick down to get into. He will ask you, I want that. Can I come in and take it from you? Because I did not intend for you to carry this burden. I did not intend for you to have this weight on your shoulders. I did not intend for you to carry this yoke of fear on you. And that is where we stand today. And I want to end off with 1 John 4 from verse 15 to 19. Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he who fears has not been perfected in love. We love him because he loved us first. I want to end off there while the worship team comes to the front. And I want to challenge you there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he who fears has not been perfected in love. How many areas in your life has been perfected in love? How many areas in your life has been changed by God's love that you have allowed And that is something why I wanted worship to be after the service. Because I just felt in my heart that God is here today. And there are many issues that God wants to deal with right here, right now. And while we worship, He will show it to you. The Holy Spirit will show you what's in your heart. And you can choose to respond. You can choose life. Or you can choose to ignore it. And by default, you will choose death. And this is not something that I say lightly. And in terms of the testimony that I've shared today, it is something that has profoundly touched my heart and changed me as a person. And it gives you that opportunity as well, from my testimony as well, to see the opportunities that God gives you is not something that you should miss. It gives you that place where you can just stand back and let God. And it's something that I am challenged with so much of late. That He's a God of power. He's a God of love. He's wanting to do so much more. Like in the days of Jesus and these apostles. And we are able to do similar things, but we are powerless. We are not doing what they did. We are not able to pray for the sick and they get healed. I'm challenged. That's a big challenge for me, to go and pray for people that are sick. I know by His word that by His stripes we are healed. But I don't always see that. I don't always experience it. While I was praying for my own boy in the hospital, it did not. He was not healed instantaneously. While I was praying for these people, no door opened for me to pray for them in time and in season. So I am missing the mark so desperately. And I need to be rewired, reworked. Because I need to understand this God. I need to understand what is given to us. And this opportunity now in worship is just a place where you can come before God. Not before me, not before people sitting around here. And just be real with God and say, God, these are my issues. I have problems with evolution. Something simple. Your word for me is not truth in complete essence. Everything in this is truth. If you cannot say this, there's an issue in your life that you have to deal with. Either this word is true from the beginning to the end, or you are deceived. Because if we cannot hold to this truth, and to this God, what can we hold to? That's the choice that we have every day. Life or death. And God is screaming to take life. And He wants to give it to us abundantly, pressed down. So much that we cannot contain, but we limit Him. So where do you stand today? I want to challenge you. If you do not know this living God, I want to invite you to come and meet Him. It's not me, but I can invite you to Him. I can take you to the cross, or the foot of the cross, and just show you this Jesus that I serve. The amazing place that He holds for us in His heart, and just how He wants to touch us and change our lives. Give us that enabling grace, that enabling power, that we are able to do so much more than what we think we are able to do. And I've limited God in my life so many times, it's scary to think. But we get wake-up calls, which I'm thankful for. But it gives us a place where we can stand before God and say, God, here I am. I've missed the mark, but I want to understand. I want to be in this place where You've called me to be. And this is where I will stand this morning in front, because the sermon is for me. I don't know about you, but this sermon is for me. And that's the place I want to be. I want to serve a God with power, love, and a sound mind, and not hold back. Amen.